Dirt and Sprague.
High fly ball, right field, that's back on its way. Second of the day, PCA. And the Cubs extend their lead. It's 5-1, and he's having a day.
Andy Dirk Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
First pitch coming to Julio. He shoots this deep out to right field. Terry back. It's a three-run home run, and Julio puts the Mariners on the board.
Dirk and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right. 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Hello, good morning. Happy Thursday, everybody. Steven Vaughn in today.
Yo, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. Welcome to the Hype Horn show that we do at 6 a.m.
You got to hype it up, dude. It's
we got
6 a.m. What else are we going to do?
I know, man.
Going to come in unenthusiastic? Let's hype this thing up.
You know, one of the first times I had thought about doing I got a hype horn button years ago from somebody in my family, like, hey, you do radio, this would be funny. And I was like, oh yeah. And then one day I was driving in and it was 5:15 a.m. I was super tired. I'm like, I just hit the hype horn in my car. And I'm like, you know what? I might kick the show off with this thing and just get my juices flowing.
The wacky radio morning guys. Yeah. That's what you had, full wacky morning radio.
You know, sometimes you got to lean into who you are.
You are. Yeah. I feel that. Yeah. That's good. You know, I will say, I've worked in the morning for a lot of different jobs, including radio, but I can do it. I can do it for a while.
Yeah.
Then I might get really tired after like a couple weeks.
Well, I'm curious, by the end of the show, because we got a pretty loaded one today, I'm going to be very curious. I'm probably going to ask you at the very last segment your overall feel of doing the morning slot versus late afternoon, evening slot. And then also, I assume you're double dipping the chip today. You're doing this one and then doing primetime?
Yeah, I'll be back for primetime.
So you go home, you take a nap. Like, do you have a strategy yet?
I do. I think I'm going to go home and take a quick little napski and then come back in later on. I think that's the best strategy for me for today.
Are you what's a standard nap for you? So, like, we have different naps here. Swag has to nap for, like, an hour, hour and a half, maybe two. I'm a 20-minute, 15-minute nap guy.
I'm more of a swag guy. I'm going to
need a longer nap.
Yeah, I'll be napping for a while. Like, I would have to probably set an alarm to wake myself up.
Yep.
I could sleep all day.
Got
oh,
my
really?
Phone next.
Yeah.
See, the problem for me is getting to sleep, even though I'm tired. Like, I don't have the will to go take on other tasks and challenges, but I'm just sitting there and can't shut the brain off.
See, my problem is at night, I can't sleep at night, but if I'm trying to take a nap during the day, I'll fall asleep right away.
What's that about?
I think my brain just goes off and I just start thinking about random things all the time.
Interesting.
And, yeah. Who led the Blazers in scoring in 1997? Stuff
that's
like that.
The random thing that pops in your head.
Just
huh?
You know, you replay everything in your brain.
Yeah.
And then and so at night I have a hard time of actually falling asleep. But then if I'm trying to take a nap during the day, I'm fine, dude. I'll just right away, and then I gotta set an alarm, make sure I wake up.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing I'm grateful for, is the ability to be able to sleep literally anywhere, any condition, and never have trouble like turning the brain
off. That's a real superpower.
I mean,
you don't realize.
I call it a gift, not a superpower. Thank God I have it. I need it badly. This job's going to kill me.
Yeah, especially in the morning, because you got to find just quick places. So you're a 20-minute to 30-minute nap guy.
If I take a nap,
Do you take a nap every day?
I take a nap every day. I'm a big LeBron believer in the take a nap every day guy.
Right.
Except his naps, I think, are a little longer than mine. I will go home usually, get a little snack. And then I usually go upstairs and I take a 15-minute power nap, wake up, get going.
Yeah. Because sometimes, when I fill in on the other show on the firm, you'll just stay around for a little bit too. So you'll do some work here and then you go home and just take a nap. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, I try to get out of here. I mean, I'd like to get out of here like 10:05 every day if I could. But you get stuck in meetings or doing stuff, odds and ends. And
you don't just crack the mics and then leave right away?
You know,
I feel like a lot of people think that.
Yeah. I think most people in my life believe that.
Well, and they don't actually believe this is a real job. You just talk.
In many ways, it's not. Like, I've done roofing, so compared to, like, some jobs, this is definitely not, the hardest career in the world. That being said, I think I was talking to my nephew, and they were asking what time, or no, who was it? His cousin or nephew, I can't remember who I was talking to, but they were like, what time do you wake up? And I was like, 3:45. And like, but your show's at 6. And I go, yeah. Why would you wake up at 3:45? Because I got to get awake? You think I just roll out of bed and then literally drive in and do a show?
You gotta prep.
And they're like, I thought you just got in there 10 minutes before and just did the show and then you left by 10. And I'm like, no, that's not how any of this works.
I tell you what, sometimes as a producer of primetime, I feel like I could do that though. Mm. Those guys, they don't include me in anything.
Really?
No.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, they don't include.
Hold on a minute. Hold on.
All right. Oh yeah. Hold on. Swag off the top rope.
Is that about our show, that comment, or about when you worked on primetime?
When I worked on primetime.
Yeah. Oh. No. They don't. They don't talk. They roll in. They roll in and they just crack the mics and do their thing. That's how good they are.
Mm.
And they're like, "Hey, Steven, you're gonna join the show. Fit in."
Yeah. Find a way to fit in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to get in where you fit in, man.
Hey, what are you talking about today? Nah, don't worry about it.
You know, the good thing for them that we sometimes don't get is they have the whole day's worth of news that's been provided to them.
You're in the tough spot where it's like you're recapping, but also previewing, but also kind of breaking news.
Yeah, it's an interesting slot in that way. Like, the top 25 coaches poll came out like at the back end of our show a couple days ago, and I was like, let's just hold it for tomorrow. And I knew people were going to talk about it, but we don't really care. We'll get to it anyway. And it's like, if that comes out at 10, 11, 12, whatever. But, yeah, very rarely do we get the big breaking news during the program.
Yeah. No, that is tough because then you really – because going to bed, once you go to bed, it's like you wake up, you really got to focus what you're doing.
Yeah, the tough part is basketball season, you know, late postseason baseball games when they're starting at 7 o'clock and we're watching the fourth quarter or the eighth plus inning on and we're in bed and I'm like, I got to stay awake because I got
to
see
what time do you go to bed at?
Yeah, I mean, that's an open-ended situation.
Oh.
Dirt's the most disciplined about getting sleep.
Which is
until
shocking.
Teddy ball game wrecks it, but that's a different story.
Yeah, Swag and I are more free-balling. You know, what time would I like to be in bed every day? 9
so you don't
o'clock.
You're not like a scheduled. You're not a scheduled guy.
I'd start thinking about bed at 9:30, but it's rare that I'm in bed before 10.
Yeah, the one thing I worry about with him is, one, the age thing in sleep, because he doesn't think it's real, and I'm telling you, it's real. But he also does hops games. He'll do pilot games.
Right. Yeah.
And so I just come in, and I can just – he's got an air to him where I go, he went to bed at 11:30. That's the Jason I have today.
You just sense it. You just get the sense.
Needs about an hour to wake up in the show, and then he'll be here with us.
Well, I get here at 5 a.m. Yeah. No matter what.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got a deadline of what time he has to be in the building.
So, yeah, I wake up at 4:30.
You do seem like you have it in your brain where it's like, if I'm going to be there at 5 o'clock, I will be there at 5 o'clock.
I'll be there at 5
what.
O'clock.
Yes.
Does not matter what happened before or after, I will be there at 5 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
The funniest time was years ago, we had a Christmas party. And he was like, I'm going to go.
Have you not heard this story?
No, I have. I'm still learning all the stories here.
This one was good. So this was five, six, 7 years ago. I can't remember when it was. We were in the old building. So we had a Christmas party. We used to have those every single year. And we usually go to these different spots that would host. And by the time we got into the morning slot, we weren't doing Christmas parties. Like, I'm not going out starting at 6 or 7 o'clock.
Right.
So we would bypass those and Swag one year goes, I'm going. I was like, okay, dude, don't get home too late. He goes, oh, I'll be all right. Coming the next day, and you can just see the booze. You can just look at his face and go, yeah, booze. And he goes, I got after it a little bit yesterday. I go, what time did you go to bed?
Well, the former boss lady was
threw
the credit card down,
yeah,
go
did.
Top shelf. I'm like, okay.
I know, you can't say no to old boss lady. When she wanted to, you had to throw down with her. And I asked him what time he went to bed, and I think he said something to the effect of like 2 or 1 or something crazy. And he goes, I'm fine. And I'm like, you don't look fine. And he just started, he's grumpy, hungover guy, right?
Well, you said he looks terrible too.
I mean, yeah, I did. But like, that's what we do. We tell each other how we look.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, so we're probably 2 hours into this show. We're at the back end. We're still a 3-hour show.
Because in my mind, it's like, oh, God, I have to be there. I have to be there. Because there's nobody I'm calling at 2 in the morning.
There was nobody you were going to get to come in. So this is a 3-hour show. We are 2 hours in. We're at the end. And I'm like, okay, we're kind of making it. We get a commercial break, and I peer over into the old building, and I can see through the window the wall between where the door is and the desk is, and I look over there, and he is sitting straight up. His eyes are closed, and he's leaning against the wall, leaning back on the wall. And I look at him, and I go, Dirk, he's asleep. And Dirk goes, no, I think he's just resting. I go, no, dude, he's asleep. And he goes, you think so? The commercial break ends a minute later. The music starts. Just going, going, going. I hit the rejoiner because I know where it's at.
Right.
Then we just start talking. And all of a sudden I get up and he wasn't going to wake up. He was out the rest of that show. So I woke up and I pounded on the glass. Eddie like finally wakes up and comes back and I'm like, I told you you weren't okay. And he just,
I think I went home and slept for
the rest of the day.
6 hours.
I tell you what though, that's what we do. That's what us millennials do. Swag's a little older, but as a millennial dude, you work late, you stay out late, then you work early the next day. We just did it. You just had to do it.
Yeah.
You had no other choice.
I certainly understand that, but it's different like when you have to wake up at 4:30 every day to choose to go out on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
I think it's a Tuesday or a Wednesday. That
also,
I got home earlier last night. So,
and also with this job, you kind of have to be—you have to pay attention. You have to be on top of it when you're doing stuff. Like, I worked at Costco in the morning. Like, I'm stocking stuff. I don't have to be awake.
You don't have to interact.
No,
you don't have to have a personality.
Exactly.
What time do you get in? What time do the workers at Costco get in the morning? Because they open at 10, right?
Yeah, 4 a.m. would be the earliest.
When do shipments? When do shipments actually? I'm assuming you get stuff every day.
You know, I don't know that. I didn't work in the shipping department. I was a stocker, so like I would stock like the whole food section.
So you're just, are you taking the pallets and moving them to different aisles?
No, so they have drivers that move all the pallets, and they just put them out, and then you either have to like stock it manually, or you have a little one of those things that you can move them yourself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a little hand truck.
Yeah, the hand truck thing.
Yeah.
You can move them in if it's like a full pallet.
I didn't know you worked at Costco.
Yeah, dude, long time.
We're big fans of Costco on this radio.
Oh,
program.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a college job, and then I worked there after I finished college as well for a couple of years.
It's a great career. They pay you really
well. No,
they do. And they treat you well.
The thing is, I saw that. There are Costco lifers there for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And they seek you out. They can smell it. They're like, hey, this guy's going to be a lifer. So I was like, dude, I refused to have a locker. Like, they all have their lockers in the back.
Yeah.
I refused because I was like, dude, if I get a locker, like, that's a root. That's my roots growing out. And I don't want this.
Oh, you can choose to take a locker or
I don't know. I just didn't want to take one.
You just didn't want to make it that permanent.
I didn't want to make it permanent. I'm like, and then I was like, I just got to get out at some point. Because if you don't, you're stuck there because it's too good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just didn't want to work there for my whole life. You know, like, I wanted to do something else.
So, I totally get it.
Yeah. So I was like, I can't lay roots, but at the same time, it's a really good job.
Yeah, my high school and college job was at a grocery store in Lake Grove.
Yeah.
And so I always thought it was just summer and it, you know, it was better than working fast food or, you know, waiting tables, that sort of thing. It was, but then as I got into college, I started thinking about like the grocery manager and the
produce. It could really become a career.
It can,
for their career. One summer there was a lockout. There was an actual grocery strike in Portland and I couldn't work. Because if you only worked 3 months, you didn't have to join the union. But if you worked more than 3 consecutive months, even if you were part-time, you had to join the union. And so when I came home for the summer, I was locked out. It sucked. I was trying to make money.
I worked at Winco in college when I was in Corvallis. And the only shift they had was the graveyard. And I'd never really done that. So I said, sure. And
that
boy.
Brutal.
That's brutal.
Big mistake, dude. I commend a lot of people that work the overnight shift. Like, I got a lot of respect
did that.
For you.
Yeah, that's when we would, at this grocery store, they would close at 10 or 11. And so then overnight, they would stock the shelves twice a week.
Yeah, that's basically, what we did was basically what Stevie Fire would do is we'd get in there and at 2 a.m. we had to start stocking off the pallets.
So when I was in college, they figured, okay, college kid, he'll work graveyard. I was wrecked the
whole
next
day. That was a sad group of people I worked with.
Yeah.
I only did it for 3 weeks. I couldn't handle it. I was like, the guy was scanning frozen TV dinners at 1 a.m. with a Monster Energy. And I was just like, dude, I can't.
Oh, we'd raid the deli department. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I only did it for 3 weeks. I couldn't hang anymore.
That was before everything was barcoded and scanned, and they were keeping track of everything. So
yeah, that's the other thing. Did you guys get discounts at Costco? Because it's already
you get a free membership.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
Yeah, so I mean, it's whatever. I forget what the price is per year.
Were you nervous to quit Costco?
No.
No,
I did, and I did not.
Because you always feel like you could probably go back if you needed to.
Yeah. So, and I also at that time I got a job with the Blazers, and I was doing it as a video analyst in their scouting department, and I was doing it full time. Like, I was doing it 40 hours. So I was like, I'm out.
Yeah.
Like,
you don't have the time.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. And so I didn't tell anybody. They didn't even know I left.
Talk about kind of a thankless job, video analyst scout for a basketball team. You think that? Oh, here comes the pipeline to be the next Phil Jackson.
It's Eric Spoelstra.
Or Eric Spoelstra.
That's what Spoelstra did.
Yeah,
that's what they do in that industry. They tout up the one that did it, and you're like, everybody can be this. And then they're like, we're going to pay you very well.
And the thousands
and
that,
you're going to spend all these hours watching tape.
You're paid for 40 hours. How many hours a week did you actually work?
A lot. It was a lot.
How quickly did you actually figure out about yourself that you hated it?
The weird part, loved every second of it.
Why'd you quit?
I got laid off.
Oh.
Yeah. Tom Dundon came in and laid
Tom
me off.
Dundon fired you, huh?
No,
Tommy
this was the rich Paul Allen.
What?
Paul Allen, yeah.
I didn't know.
Usually
that.
I don't know if you knew this. Other people got laid off too.
No.
Yeah.
Breaking news.
Laid off by voicemail. They didn't even
Wait, who left the voicemail?
It was like a boss of a boss. It was like one of the scouts basically laid me off. I don't think I'd ever talked to him. Maybe one time I talked to the guy.
Did you feel okay, so layoffs are weird in the sense of like most of the time it's just cost cutting.
Yeah.
Did you feel unwarranted or warranted about your performance at that point?
Well, it was unwarranted. So the way that they did it, I believe there was only like two or three people that are doing it full time, and I was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like I was putting in good time. I was, you know, making good connections with the people. They were having me do like live stats for them as well, like during games. So I felt like I could have added more, but at the same time, they just cut our whole entire like department that we were doing. Like,
were you on the bench doing the live stats?
No. It was all remote. It was all remote. So I worked from home.
Oh, okay.
I literally just watched basketball for 40 hours a week and from my house.
More like 60 hours a week, but you called it 40 hours
so
a week.
What we did was we'd break down every play, like how they ran it, like where they ran it, how it was defended. We said like basically it was like a worksheet. You just filled it out. Like what player did it, where they were going, how they did it, what resulted in the play. And so like tracking one game would take like 4 hours.
Oof.
Yeah, because I see that with the pilots.
And the sick part, I loved it. I'm like, dude, this is awesome. Like I want to do more. I want to be a scout. Like this is awesome.
Did you want to stay a scout or get into the coaching aspect?
Yeah, I wanted to be a scout.
Mm.
That was like my ultimate dream. So like I would, so I was asking like my boss, like, hey, what do you guys look for? Like what's going on? And so he would ask me, like, hey, who do you think is one of the best defensive centers in the NBA? And I would tell him. I'm like, oh, this guy. I do feel like I had to put, you know, before the Blazers got Robin Lopez, remember they got Robin Lopez?
Yeah, Rolo.
I put him down as one of the underrated guys in the NBA.
Oh.
He was not on the Blazers.
Do you take credit for the Blazers?
I do.
Getting
I should.
Rolo?
I should.
I should. Yeah.
But I tell you what, I told him, hey, Rolo, I watched him, this guy play. He's a decent defender.
Yeah, proud Portlander, too. He's got a place here.
That's right.
Yeah.
So.
He still comes back and stays.
Stevie Rolo.
How about that? I didn't know the back. I think I'd heard that you worked for the Blazers. I didn't know the full backstory.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was a scouting department.
So it's Costco to scouting to media.
Yeah, so I initially started with the Blazers when I was at Costco. I was doing it part-time.
Oh, okay.
And then I'm like, can I just do this more hours? Like, this is sick.
Yeah. I saw a story the other day, and it was a Costco guy. He'd been there 33 years, and he had like $1.5 million because of the way that they had set up retirement for him.
that sounds about right.
If you got a career Costco guy, and he's got almost $2 million in the bank, ready to go, that's a company that treats people right.
Dude, because this was like 2008, 2009. Like, those cashiers were making like 55 grand then.
Yeah.
And I'm like, 55 grand to be a cashier? That's crazy.
Yeah, also, like, that job has got a
It's a lot of people, too.
Beep.
And these people.
Those lines never end.
And the Costco people, like the customers, they think they're better than you because they pay for their membership. So you're kind of like the help.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a
you
lot.
You get that vibe from the customers?
There's a lot of snobby customers.
That sucks.
Hey, go fetch me another muffin, will you?
Oh, I try to be as nice to those people as I can.
I know. But there's a lot of people that are not nice.
Here's my only point of contention. The receipt checkers at the end at Costco.
Speed
that,
it up.
That method is interesting. Well, some people will have a good day.
Yeah.
Have a good day. And some people will literally count
some
your
of them
items.
Are inspectors.
And then like
did you get that item? Okay.
I have two kids and it's like, let me make a smiley face. And I'm like, just
dude,
let
my
me
kids
go.
Love the smiley face.
My kids are too old.
The
now.
Line's 14 deep. Can we get going? My hot dog's getting cold.
I've been waiting 10 minutes. I want to get out of here, man. Just check the receipt.
The only thing I have when they started doing the self checkout lanes.
I use it religiously.
Well, at the Costco's that I go to out on the west side, there's two. Mm. There's the smallest one and the biggest one in the metro area.
Yep.
Very strange.
Yep.
They don't have, because you can't put a box or whatever.
They have to scan some of the items in
your
cart.
They scan individually, and then you have to put it back. And I'm trying to put a box there, and it's like, no, you can't put the box there. I was like, so I have to unload, reload, and then reload, and there's no boxes over by there.
There's a weight limit on that scan thing. You got to know that. This sounds like a you problem.
They need to be more efficient with... No, they make you
it's
like...
It's a self-scan. It's pretty obvious. You don't put a bag of dog food on it.
No. I'm talking about a box for the smaller things to consolidate everything.
What do you need a box for? Take it to your car. You're a box guy?
Yes, I'm very much a box guy.
See, I don't take boxes, but I don't do it because I know how valuable they are as a guy who used to box items. Dude, those things are like gold. You find a good box, you find a guy.
So a strong, sturdy, cornered box.
You don't even want to use it. It's so good.
I only usually take one. I'm not going. We don't have
kids
anymore.
What do you do
anymore
with the box? You just recycle it,
recycle
don't
it
you?
At the end, yeah,
I'll recycle
you
it.
You can just take those items from your cart to the car, carry them in.
No, there's more. No. Because usually when I go, it's like I only go once or twice a month.
That's a lot for a two-person household at Costco.
Some specific items you need.
Run through proteins.
Yeah. Tell you what, though. The key was, as a worker, you get connections with, like, the fruit guys or the bakery guys, and they give you the good boxes.
Yeah.
There's a whole intertwining system at Costco that people don't know about.
Produce boxes are always the best.
Yeah.
Produce is the only thing I don't buy at Costco, and I never will.
And so the produce bros will come up like, hey, you want some boxes? Yeah, dude.
Yeah, you got the gold boxes.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Stephen Vonnen hanging out with us today. Dirt is off until next Wednesday. I don't know if he's going on his vacation.
Well, he said they weren't planning to leave till this morning.
Well, I texted him yesterday, and he said, my kid got sick.
Oh, no.
So we'll see. The fire smoke paired with the kid being sick, and I don't know how excited you get about it. But,
well, the other,
maybe,
because it was a big family excursion, he told us.
I don't know how big the family excursion was,
but if
yeah.
the other family goes over there, they could join them if kid gets better here in a day or two.
Ah, Dirt. He's got another kid. That kid's going to get sick a lot, too. He made fun of me years ago, said, you got to have better system, Sprague. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Wait till you have a kid.
He's going to eat those words.
He's been sick a million times now.
I can't wait for November when he's...
Well, he won't be here, maybe.
He'll be back by November.
You don't know when she's going to give birth. You don't know how long he's gone. We don't know how long he's going to be gone, do you?
Well, he indicated it will be significantly less than the last time.
Than 7 weeks?
Yeah.
That was a journey. 7 weeks with no co-host was a journey. But we got Greg Oden in studio for exactly an hour. 8 to 9 a.m., Greg Oden's going to be sitting in studio.
I'm looking forward to this.
And
although,
then,
I'm going to be staring at the back of his...
Actually, I'm going to ask Stephen Vonnen to switch spots.
Oh, okay.
Because why would we not try to get him on the...
Exactly.
YouTube, you know what
I mean? Well, I was worried about actually seeing you because he's a large individual.
Well, Stephen Vonnen's not short either, so you might still not see me. It's very possible.
I'm going to get tall, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So Greg Oden in studio from 8 to 9, and then immediately after Greg walks out, we've got a race car driver in.
Yeah.
Is it offensive to just call them race car drivers? Do I need to say IndyCar specifically?
I think IndyCar, that's where he spent most, if not all, of his career. Will Power.
Will Power in
which
studio.
Which is just a great name. I believe he's won the 500.
He has in 2018.
Yeah.
So he'll join us coming up in the 9 a.m. hour. We got the Magic Hat to get to. Cafe Day, Dirt and Sprague at 7. Loaded show. Let's get it going. Dirt and Sprague 105.1, the fan. We'll get into college football. Check in day one of camps. Oregon State. Some feedback from Dan Lanning and Jamarcus Shepherd. We'll squeeze that in. We got Cafe Day, Dirt and Sprague. Got a lot on the cafe notes to get to. I'll tell you the breakfast item coming up at the top of the hour. I like to dabble in a couple local things when I can in the 6 a.m. Stephen, did you see much of the city council town hall that they had yesterday?
I wouldn't say I saw a lot of it, but I did see some of the highlights. Saw a lot of the recaps of what was going on.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Takeaways? Seems like the city's mostly in favor of it, isn't it?
Yeah. It did not change my opinion. My whole opinion the whole time has been, I really don't think Tom Dundon bought the Blazers trying to move them. And I think the Blazers want to stay here. I think they're just negotiating, and they're doing it out in public, which is never the best. Like, that's the thing is, we usually don't see these type of negotiations, but they're trying to do this and pull all the leverage in front of everybody, and we're all just running to the extremes of every single thing going about it. So my takeaway was that, yeah, I think eventually this deal gets done. The Blazers stay in Portland, and we still will hate Tom Dundon because he is a cheap owner. But at the same time, I think he's just going about it his way. Like, he is a businessman, and we do have to get used to the fact that we don't have Paul Allen as the Blazers owner anymore. Like, he was not afraid to lose money. Tom Dundon's not going to lose money when he does this thing. Like, he's going to do it as a business. So it's still going to be an adjustment. But no, man, I still think that the Blazers are going to stay here, and they'll get the deal done eventually.
You know, the thing about the whole relocation thing, because there's multiple things out about how much it would cost for them to relocate. I've been on the take of just like, there's nowhere for them to go.
Yeah.
There's no markets. Seattle, Vegas are off. Austin's off. Nashville's off. St. Louis, no.
Kansas City?
Kansas City, we had a guy on Kansas City. Their arena's as old as the Moda Center. It's 20-plus years old. They need renovations. They're also on the hook for a $600 million baseball stadium, and they just lost the Chiefs to the town that's – or the state that's, like, somehow connected to them but not them.
Right, right, right.
Right? It's a weird thing over there. So, like, there's just not a landing spot for it. I don't know how much I buy he – because some people have the opinion that he was always intentioned to move the team.
Right.
And I really just don't think that's what his intentions were. I think he did want the city, county, state to provide a ton of money for renovations. And when he came in and the city council members and everybody started swinging their D's, like, hey, who are you? You're not going to tell us what we are. I don't think that guy comes off very well. But then I saw this R.C. Buford thing yesterday because the Spurs are also trying to get a new arena in downtown San Antonio. And it's just like this big commitment thing. And I found it funny. Like, we got, have you been to Texas before?
No.
Have you been to the, like, Oklahoma? You been to that section of the country?
No.
Never go to Oklahoma. It's terrible.
I don't want to.
I've been there quite a bit. And what I will tell you is the Southern hospitality, nice to your face, that's a real thing. You go to these small towns in Oklahoma, it's like, how you doing? It's like, that's a real thing. And we seemingly got the one guy from the state of Texas that just doesn't care about you, nor does he want to ask how you're doing.
Right.
You're right? Like, that's the unfortunate part of a bid is when you're auctioning a team, what we know is there was only two bids. It was him and the Bethals. He had the higher bid, which I still can't believe the Bethals didn't get their group together to make that more money to outbid him because it would have been a monopoly for them.
Right.
And so you're kind of stuck dealing with Tom Dundon. But I think yesterday I'm hearing all of these, you know, these business leaders and these diehard fans and family members of Damon Stoudemire. Like, there's all these people coming to this thing giving their opinion, and it mostly, to me, came off as backing of, like, what are we doing here? It's right. The Blazers. We're keeping the Blazers. Pay for the Blazers.
It does seem like everyone involved, well, not everyone, but it seems like most people involved, they do understand how important it is to keep the Blazers in Portland.
Yeah.
And that they are the biggest company that wants, like, they want to stay in Portland. Everyone else is leaving. Like, right, all these companies are leaving the city of Portland and going somewhere else. The Blazers want to stay in Portland. They are saying, hey, let's get this done. Let's get this lease signed. Let's get Moda renovated. That's all we need, and we will stay. And you are by far the biggest company that wants to stay in the city of Portland. I think people are understanding how important of a loss it would be if the Blazers were to leave, just to the city in general. It, you know, it may not show perfect stuff from the start, money-making-wise, all that kind of stuff, but if you lose the Blazers, it just goes into the national narrative of how bad of a city Portland is, how they can't hold anything, how it's on fire all the time, all this kind of stuff. Like, it just goes to that whole narrative that nobody wants to be here, and So you can't feed into that. Like, you really can't. And I understand, but the problem is I understand from the Blazers' point of view and Tom Dundon, like, they want the best deal that they can get. They're just negotiating. The city of Portland, you need to negotiate as well. You want the best deal you can get. This is just this is how business works.
Right.
They're just going against one another, trying to get the best deal, and they'll figure it out. And once they do, they'll sign the lease and they'll stay.
So have you seen the images or the video, or maybe you saw the guy that there's a lot of people that are wondering if Tom Dundon is getting into a costume and showing up to these hearings.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you right now,
it looks
30%
like
of me
him.
Is believing this, that he's a billionaire. So, like, he could have the best makeup. If Drewski can look like Erica Kirk, Tom Dundon can look.
He's going Bobby Valentine,
dude,
after
I'm
he gets tossed.
I'm telling you, look this guy up. He looks just like Tom Dundon with a fake beard. He's got a beanie and glasses. He's wearing a hoodie, by the way, when he shows up to these, and it's 90 degrees out, which is a dead giveaway. He's got a really nice collared shirt if you look under the hoodie and the other shirt. I'm kind of convinced it is Tom Dundon.
Yeah, I retweeted it at Steven_VON, Steven Vaughn there. It looks identical.
It looks just like
it looks like he went to meetings like, hey, I'm going to dress up. Like, how can I disguise myself? People don't recognize me, but also kind of recognize me. Like, this is what would come out of it.
It's a dead ringer. In fact, I want to, one of the Blazer fan accounts tweeted out, it's like, this is him in disguise. It looks just like his build, everything about him looks like him.
Is that a good strategy?
Where would this rank of craziest sports stories in the history of that league?
Like, if it comes out that it's true?
This was Tom Dundon in disguise. Where would that rank? It'd have to be up there.
Yeah.
It would just be so odd.
He's kind of an odd dude.
He's really an odd dude.
He's cutting things financially that, like, don't actually save him money, right? Like, he's cutting something that saves him $80,000. That actually doesn't do anything for those companies. It doesn't. He doesn't go, oh, 80 grand in my pocket. That's not how that works. So, like, why he's cutting everything that he's cut? It's fair to wonder, how weird is he? Is he weird enough to dress in disguise?
See, he should have wore the Hartford Whalers hat. He should have gave it away and gone with the Whalers hat, and then we all would have known, all right, this is actually Tommy D. This is Tommy D out there.
Here's the
problem. Those who pay attention know.
Right.
Because other people don't even know what that hat is.
Right.
The thing for me is,
that was the hat he wore the first time he got, like, was seen as the Blazers owner. He wore the Whalers hat. Like, he should have just shouted an homage to that. And so, like you said, Swag, the people that know, know.
It's the shirt. The way the guy's dressed, it's the shirt. The shirt is way too nice for somebody wearing a beanie with glasses inside, a jacket, and a sweatshirt underneath the jacket in a 90-plus degree temperature. It's the shirt. It's too nice. That's what a billionaire wears when he comes out of a hearing.
That's a customly tailored shirt.
Yeah, he's breathing really well
under
that shirt.
It was also really hot yesterday, and he's going full beanie
that's
with like
I'm
a jacket.
Saying. Yes. I don't get these people that
like,
do the
beanies. Like, that's disguise.
Yeah. I mean,
like, if I'm going disguise, first thing I'm doing is wearing a beanie because
be
my
true.
Head.
It would be great if that's true.
It'd be
true.
So, like, with the NBA, how would the NBA respond to this if we found out he's in disguise?
I don't know what they would do.
I tell you what, it kind of fits the NBA. The drama.
He's not really violating anything. He's there. He's taking interest.
But on the heels of the aspiration deal with Kawhi Leonard, it comes out that there's an owner in Portland in disguise at hearings.
Incognito.
Advocating for more money.
It is a public hearing. There's nothing that's going on behind the scenes.
No, you're not wrong.
Not at this point.
It's insane. It's just, it's utterly insane. I just think it's good news. I'd heard, it's funny, you talk about Tom Dundy's a lightning rod of a conversation. One thing that I've been kind of wondering, there was a story that came out, and get to it yesterday. Story came out, Jerry Jones was asked about Mark Cuban buying a percentage stake in the Cowboys. And that only caught my attention, one, because the Jones family doesn't seem like they want to sell anything of the Cowboys, right? It's a $20 billion asset. It's just odd that he publicly commented and said, we're not looking to do this at this time, which makes me go, why would you talk about it? And how easy could you reconsider taking a stake and saying, here's a small percentage?
Cuban just bought back into something, didn't he? I thought I read.
I don't know. But the only point I'm trying to prove is, if you told me Tom Dundon sold his stake in the Blazers in 2 years to double up what he spent to then buy 35% of the Cowboys or whatever that percentage would be.
Yeah.
Would that be the biggest shock to you guys?
No, it would not.
It wouldn't shock me.
No.
I can't remember who we heard it from.
Well, he had to sell a percentage stake 12.5%
of the
Hurricanes to raise cash to finish the sale.
Somebody told us, though, that like his grandiose plan is NFL.
That's where most people want to get. I mean,
it would make sense.
That's the honeypot of all honeypots.
He's a Texas
for rich
guy,
people.
Right?
Yeah.
And he's in Dallas. Like, 30% of the Cowboys is much better than 60% of the Blazers.
Absolutely.
Watch your mouth.
I mean, I love the Blazers, but let's be real here, right? It's the Dallas freaking Cowboys.
Yeah.
Basically anything in the NFL would be better than
that
the Blazers.
That thing prints money.
If you were to bet, though, Steven, would you bet more likely than not he's the owner for 5 or less years or 5 or more years?
I'm still going to go 5 or more.
So you think he is in this for the long term?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
But I don't think you're wrong. I think there's a possibility that is 5 or less.
Somebody threw at me like he might be one of the guys secretly that wants to get baseball going in Charlotte.
Yeah.
Because Charlotte's one of the cities that might be an expansion hub, and I don't know where
depends
they sit.
On if he needs cash because he'd have to pay an expansion
he
fee.
He needs cash, Swag. He's deep pocketed.
Yep. He's broke.
That's why he's so
but I don't know how quickly he can flip. And the only way to increase the value of your Blazer franchise, if he's trying to do a renovation and flip it, is to get a new lease, a long-term lease.
Oh, if you get the building renovated and it's like top tier, you're doubling up what you put in. Because I don't even know if he put $1 billion into it,
but it's certainly somewhere between 5 and 6.
Well, but his group is 80 people deep. How much do you think he actually spent of his own money?
It's not a ton.
Of the $4 billion,
owners.
I wonder if it was $1 billion.
I don't think it was.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if it's $800 million, it's like he didn't put $4 billion of his money.
No. I know that.
There's also 20% of that price tag has not been filled yet. It's still the Vulcans.
Yeah, no. Still the Vulcans. They own it until they get stuff.
Something to consider. Yeah. Something to think about as we go through
this journey. See
another wrinkle.
Another wrinkle. Is he in disguise, and is he going to flip the team to get out of the league? That's what I wonder. All right, it's 6:41. We got more Cafe de Dirt and Sprague at the top of the hour. Back with the radio program on 105.1 The Fan. All right, we'll get to Cafe de Dirt and Sprague coming up at the top of the hour. Stephen Vaughn sitting in for Andy Dirt Johnson, who
yes,
is on vacation.
Kind of.
When's the last vacation you took?
I just got back from vacation.
That's right. Where did you go?
We were at Lake Tahoe.
Tahoe.
Yeah. We've gone there the last 4 years, I want to say. Coach Vaughn has a connection through her work, so we get a pretty decent deal, or else I couldn't afford to go to Lake Tahoe every year. But yeah, so we go down there.
Don't you go during the golf tournament?
We have in the past, yeah. We have it the last couple of years because it just hasn't worked out. But yeah, I mean, we went like before. Like, it was always popular, but now it's kind of like a thing. We kind of went before it was like really a thing, so we actually had like some pretty cool interactions with some guys.
Yeah.
Like with the little guy, my little guy, he had some sick autographs the first year. Steph Curry.
Dude, everybody's
Aaron
so
Rodgers.
Relaxed at that thing that they're really engaging with. Did you see Jerry Rice chase away a heckler?
That was awesome. That was great. Yeah, the weirdest one, so it was Aaron Rodgers right after he got traded to the Jets, so he was like super popular.
Yeah.
And he was going to the bathroom, legit like a bunch of, I mean, it had to have been 50 to 60, you know, 30 to 40 year olds just followed him over to the porta potties. And finally, security's like, guys, back up.
That's really
And then
crazy.
They all backed up. And my little guy, he was like 7 at the time. He was just standing there with his little notebook. He was holding it out as Aaron Rodgers walked out of the bathroom and he signed it.
See, the kid can get away with it.
Right. Because he didn't know.
Grown man following
Grown men
were
just like following
him
to the bathroom, dude.
That's odd.
And so my little guy followed everyone else. He's like, yeah, cool. I'm going to be like everyone else. Then he's just standing there like, hey, can I have an autograph?
Yeah. That's a good golf tournament. Me and Dirt have always talked about trying to just pay our way down to go do their show there just to get the guest part of it.
They do. And people do that now.
Yeah. I know. All these events, the combines, the golf tournaments, like the media days, you go to these things, man, at the access, you can't beat it. My mom famously, she didn't vacation very often growing up, but she went on a trip once with her friend to Tahoe.
Yeah.
And she came back, and I didn't know about this golf tournament, right? I think it's been going on a long time. Mm-hmm. But I was a kid, and she came back, and she goes, there was a golf tournament happening when I was there. I was like, that's cool. She goes, Michael Jordan was there. I was like, oh, really? And she goes, yeah, we met his brother. And I go,
that's sick.
That's awesome. Yeah. And she goes, he was really nice. And I was like, well, he's probably hitting on you. And she goes, well, he's flirting a little bit. And I was like, that's cool. That's cool. And she goes, you know, he told me. And I go, no, what? He told me Michael was going to send you an autograph.
Ooh.
And I said, oh, did you give him the address? Well, no, he said he'd look it up. And I go, Mom, it's Michael Jordan.
He just remembers, yeah.
And she had, like, it just did not,
just so funny.
It did not register how impossible that was going to be.
Right.
But yeah, that's the closest to the Tahoe golf tournament I've had story wise.
It's great. And this last year, Larry David was there, so I'm a little mad I didn't get to go because I love Larry David.
I'd want to say hi and thank you, but also I know he's curmudgeon-y.
Right.
Probably gets annoyed of
it. He'd been really mad at you if you said that to him.
I know, but like I still want to say, while he was alive, I told him thank you. You're
right.
A comedic genius.
He's the best. I love Larry David.
Dude, his new show's pretty funny, the history one.
Yeah, it's solid.
It's solid.
It is solid,
yeah.
For sure. So I was a little sad we didn't get to go this year, but yeah, no, I mean, like my wife, she's got to see Bobby Flay, maybe the last time we were there.
Bobby Flay?
And that was like her dream.
Yeah.
And like all these chicks, dude, like 40-year-old moms flocked to Bobby Flay.
There's
and I'm like, this is crazy.
There's internet rumors about Bobby. You got to be careful with your
wife. Bobby,
Bobby,
I know.
Flay. Bobby
Flay. I told her, I said, hey.
He knows how to cook.
I go, if Bobby makes a move, go for it. You know, this is,
really?
Yeah.
That's the hall pass?
Yeah.
Bobby Flay would
for
be
her.
The hall pass.
That's for her if she wants
what
it.
What would your hall pass be?
That's tough.
Who's your Bobby Flay?
I mean, Sydney Sweeney at the time right now.
Sydney Sweeney?
She's great.
Yeah.
She's great.
She's in Washington State helping Spokane firefighters.
Well, why am I not up there?
She's a hero.
Oh.
National treasure.
She is a hero.
She is a hero. Yeah.
God bless her.
We'll get to Cafe de Dirt and Sprague. I know you're a hoops guy. We've talked hoops a little bit off the air, and we've talked hoops obviously on the air a little bit. I'm very curious, where is your football fandom at? College football. Like, you got the college football itch, the fever? Like, where are you at right now?
College football is my favorite sport.
It is your favorite sport.
It's my favorite sport.
Over basketball.
Yes. I can talk basketball way more because obviously, you know, working for the Blazers, you learn a lot of things. I played
you
basketball.
You played it. You understand it a little more.
Played small college basketball, whatever. But
yeah.
Like just watching it and betting on it, college football is by far my favorite sport. And then college basketball will be more, I like it more than the NBA as well.
You like college basketball more than the NBA?
Yeah.
Why?
The styles. You get different styles still. The NBA.
Every, it's copycat league.
Every team plays the exact same style.
I feel like college is trending
and it is.
To the
and
every
it is.
Style.
100%. You're 100% right, and I hate it. But the NBA is literally the same style every team has. College basketball still has, you're different.
Well, the higher
some
levels.
Some will press, some will play zone, some will man-to-man. Some still try to, you know, Michigan State still just want to crash the boards. Like, they're not shooting threes.
The Syracuse 2-3.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, that kind of stuff I get geeky about.
You like the quirky kind of differences of it. Okay.
But, of course, when you get to the
NBA, are you a big St. Mary's fan?
Love St. Mary's. There Randy Bennett, dude.
ASU so, now.
He's at ASU?
I know. Yeah.
They stole our point guard.
Oh, brutal.
Well, they
Portland's had a couple decent players that got stolen, last couple of years.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can't keep up with the NIL.
You can't.
It's pretty hard. No.
But then, of course, when you get to, like, the NBA playoffs, dude, there's nothing better than that.
I tend to agree with
you on
that.
There's nothing better than that.
Well, it's interesting, like, right now when you look at the college football landscape, I just, like, what to make of the favorites versus not the favorites. Ryan Day, and we'll get to him in the cafe. Of, like, none of these preseason things matter. We all know who these teams are. Like, if you want to say this team's 2 or this team's 9, there's not really a difference.
Right.
It's who's going to handle their business. Notre Dame, to me, is the most... I know there's a lot of pressure on landing in Oregon. You know, this whole title or bust bowl, that's not real, but we're making it real. Sarkisian at Texas, I think that's real. That's pressure, man. You don't go to the playoff again, or you don't go to, like, a certain portion of the playoff. What is that going to mean for you? Notre Dame is the most fascinating team in college football to me because their schedule's not tough.
No.
They're being picked as maybe the favorite in the entire sport. CJ Carr is, in some books, 1 or 2 in the Heisman category.
I think
category.
He's the best player in college football.
You think he's the best player?
I think he wins the Heisman.
Really?
Yep.
So I don't know how to gauge Notre Dame right now.
Well, you're right about the schedule. It's Miami at home, and then they play at BYU.
Yeah, those are the two hardest
games. Those are the two tough games.
Right.
So let's just say worst case scenario for them, they lose both those games. They're 10-2. They're still in the playoff.
Yeah, 10-2 Notre Dame's always going to make it.
And so that's – well, they didn't last year.
Well, you're right. But they had a weird tiebreaker.
And that's the thing is they didn't do it last year. They'll put them in this year because of that.
10-2, if those are your two losses, I don't know if that gets them in.
I think
that schedule's pretty.
I think with the hype with them, they'll get in.
After the toughest team on the schedule minus those two?
SMU,
and that's a home game for Notre Dame.
Yeah, you can't lose SMU. But also, Lashley's pretty good, and they got a quarterback in his third year as a starter.
After that, it's tissue paper.
Is Wisconsin on that schedule?
Yeah, that's their opener.
At People Lambeau. Are buzzing Lambeau. On Wisconsin.
Well, they got a little quarterback, Colton Joseph.
Oh, man.
From Old Dominion.
Now I'm really scared. Luke Fickell might run the ball finally.
No, they're going to lose by a million in that game.
I don't buy Wisconsin at all.
I'm buying Notre Dame.
I am buying
Notre Dame this year.
Yeah, because our friend Josh Pate picked them to win the title. Mm. They're like, I think they're 1, 2, or 3 in the title odds now. So I don't know. Marcus Freeman's an interesting coach to me, too. Like, he's obviously really good.
NFL teams want him.
Yeah, he's the hottest guy in the sport, literally.
Literally.
And they were 10-2, to your point, last year, didn't make it because of that weird tie-breaking scenario with Miami, who was 5th in their conference but somehow got to represent it. Very odd dynamics in college football. I'm jonesing for it. We'll get to it in the second hour. We'll kick it off. Cafe Day, Dirt and Sprague, hour number 2. Kick it off there on 105.1 The Fan.